Hey, welcome everybody. Today you are listening to Pop Sub, which is with myself, Christopher Furman, and my compadre, James Fryer. And we're just here to kind of talk about what's new this week in entertainment and media, but not necessarily. This week, we're going to talk about a show we've seen that caught our eye.
So we've been watching WandaVision. I started watching WandaVision because you were watching WandaVision, which surprised me a little bit. You don't seem the kind of person who generally follows the Marvel stuff.
For me, we, about a year and a half ago, had purchased a year's worth of Disney. And of course, it was all about Mandalorian. But Mandalorian is a limited time that it shows. It's not even a full season. I mean, how many episodes?
I think it was 8 or so. I don't know. But, you know, it's had 2 seasons now. And, you know, modern seasons, that's how long they are.
It's so British. So what happened was, is the next thing we know, Disney, as you said to me once before, is pushing down WandaVision, for better or for worse, because Marvel is their newest, or at least more recent, big moneymaker.
Well, yeah, it's a huge universe. They have a lot of characters, and it's still relatively popular. I guess it's still very popular.
I guess they ran out of Grimm's fairy tales.
Well, it's a little bit more grim, right? And anybody can technically use that content, whereas nobody can use Marvel content but Disney.
Right, right. Marvel's turning into the new Disney focus. There's all these things right now about how Disney is making a more broader audience by trying to appeal to young women and young girls, and not so much about just a good grim boys story. And their solution...
Wait, what do you mean now? This is... They've built their empire on princesses.
That's true. But no, I should say powerful.
They have a broad base of appeal. And if we're going to diverge on Disney for a moment, I've been really curious. Did you see any of the shows like Daredevil or Luke Cage?
Oh, Luke Cage, I really liked.
Iron Fist. That was an amazing show. Okay, another diversion. When I was watching that show, Luke Cage, I'm like, I know I've seen this guy before somewhere. It was driving me crazy for a couple of episodes. And then it hit me out of the blue. Luke Cage is in Halo 5, the video game, and not just as a voice actor. He's the voice actor, but they completely modeled the real character in the game, the character in the game completely on this guy, whoever plays Luke Cage. And so for the first time, I recognized a movie actor from a video game.
Right.
The funny thing too, again, with it, Halo 5, is that he is amazingly well rendered, and it's very good. Actually, he's like the best model in the entire Halo 5. All the white people look bad, but the black people look amazing. They just glisten.
So where I was trying to go with this is Disney has been trying to show women as strong people, not little weak princesses that need to be saved. And this Marvel universe is kind of a part of their solution. So I think WandaVision is, you have Wanda, and we're not really clear on, is she a superhero or is she a super villain? It's kind of going along this gray line, don't you think?
It's very unclear what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I like about it. But it's not just Disney that is exploring alternate storylines for girls. I mean, it was Shrek that kind of, I mean, they didn't break ground there, but that they did the same thing. And I don't know if this is a specific push with WandaVision down that hole, because Wanda, or the Scarlet Witch, that's the character that's her superhero identity, is a remarkably powerful character in the Marvel universe. So it's a character I think that they genuinely can just want to explore on their own.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, this is a really creative way of looking at it. And so just to follow up on the point I was trying to make before I got myself off track, was that they have, Marvel had a set of kind of dark shows, Daredevil being one of the darker ones. And I'm wondering, I haven't looked to see where those are now, because those originally were released on Netflix, and I don't know if those are going to move into Disney Plus or not, because they, like I said, they're pretty heavy and pretty dark. I mean, I would not want my kids watching, or a young kid watching Daredevil. So I wonder what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, stuff. I hear you. So I saw Wanda as being kind of this strong figure, and then she's almost Well, with the whole thing with Vision, when I was watching the show, I remember, because I watched it with the kids, I remember saying to them, isn't he dead? I thought I saw him die. Did I not?
Oh, yeah, he died. He basically his brain ripped out, or his soul, or whatever you want to call it. The Infinity Stone was what kept him alive, or what gave him life.
So we just want to be clear that if you're listening to the show, a spoiler might be dropped accidentally or on purpose.
No. This is, we should have, I guess, started there with that. Spoiler alert, this show is assuming you've watched the show. Don't listen to us now if you want to watch the show and want to be surprised by anything, because we're going to be talking about the show as if you've already seen it.
Yes. Well, on the last episode, or maybe even the one before, where they just do a quick...
Let's just set it up. I mean, everybody knows what it is about.
Go ahead.
We're talking about Wanda the Scarlet Witch and Vision. And, you know, for me, what was really surprising is, you know, there's no... They drop us directly into, quote, the action, into a black and white sitcom with Wanda and Vision, or the Scarlet Witch and Vision, which, you know, which is very surprising and very intriguing. And I really enjoyed the first
episode. I did too, but I thought at first I was like, this humor is not funny. It's so old. I was cringing. I was like, oh God, this humor is so bad. And they're trying to replicate an old show. I couldn't see where it was going. I had this weird feeling like, oh my gosh, this is terrible.
Oh yeah. So that surprised me, because I thought I was watching that first show and the jokes seemed pretty well crafted, not only in themselves. Well, I think on their own, they wouldn't stand up terribly well, but in the situation in which they created, which was a throwback to a 1950s sitcom, I thought they were remarkably well crafted. I thought the show in general was remarkably well crafted.
Well, it looked like they even used the same type of lighting, the same... No, I love that part of it. It was like really a replica. I almost feel like they were using... I'm sure it was not, but it felt like they were even using old style cameras to really capture it.
Yeah, I don't think they were doing that, but I extend that crafting to the writing as well. I think the jokes and the writing was quite well done. It seemed to really fit the era and be a little bit modern at the same time.
It seems like it was moving about 5 years in increments, and then, or even maybe 10. James, he's showing me the 10 years, but or somewhere in between. But this was the weird thing. By the fourth episode, I was kind of getting excited about seeing what they were going to do with the 80s and 90s or something like that. And then they kind of just blew it for me.
What, modern agents?
You let the cat out of the bag, I think, one or two episodes too soon. And now it's out. So now it's
hard to know what they're going to do with the arc of the show, to know if they did it too early or not.
Well, the credits kind of give it away.
Midway through.
The credits give it away, right? The credits were the clue of what's going on, because they show like this camera thing going into what appears to me like something like a Tron, right? It looks right.
Oh, well, if you want to get that was really fascinating. Well, first of all, there are 7 minutes of credits on these shows.
Crazy.
These 20 to 30 minute shows have 7 minutes of credits, which is insane. But anyway, but the initial credit scene is really interesting. If you look at it closely, it's pixels. Everything is constructed by pixels. So if you're paying attention, you know immediately that this is some kind of construct, some kind of electronic. Well, it's probably magic, but it's some kind of construct.
Well, that's so weird. And then the whole, jumping ahead, where they show a glimpse of what Wanda doesn't want to happen, which is basically Vision dead or standing there with a big, huge hole in his head. My first thought was, thinking about those credits, I'm all, oh, okay, so Vision is like a computer that's damaged or broken, and somehow he's working on bits and pieces of leftover memory. I don't know.
No, Vision is dead.
Right, but even
I think Vision is unequivocally
you
dead.
Think so? Well, I mean, a dead computer, you got to remember, this is Marvel, and they love to bring their characters back alive, and now they have set up an area and a platform to bring him back alive, like DC did with Superman.
You can never discount the idea of them bringing them back, but it wasn't just that he died, but the part that made him alive was ripped out. That was the Infinity Stone. So without an Infinity Stone, and I don't remember if I think they got destroyed in Endgame or whichever Marvel movie was the last one. I don't really care anymore. But you know, that without the Infinity Stone, there is no Vision, because he was the computer in Stark's armor in robot in
right. And his essence was in the stone.
He was the computer in Iron Man, but then he got stitched together with the Infinity Stone, and that's what gave him life. So without the Infinity Stone, It's just a computer.
Right. It's basically Frosty the Snowman story.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, you breathe life. It's or a Gollum story. And, well, I guess that is, this is pretty obvious, though. It's a Gollum story. You breathe life into something that is lifeless.
Okay. Well, I keep thinking this is just a platform for Disney to bring back Vision and to get him get us excited about, okay, is he going to be alive? Is he going to come back? And that's what this, and they're going to draw you for 2 or 3 years into the show based on the fact that they're going to show you at some point, maybe they'll bring him back alive. Maybe not.
I don't know that, you know, it's like, it's not necessarily a trick or anything, but you know, it's a plot device that they can use to write a story around.
I don't know
if it'll take 2 or 3 years to figure that out. we'll know by March when they finish up the series.
Hey, there's one part of the series that I actually had to look up, and that's this whole thing, Sword.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, here's the thing. I didn't know anything about that either. So I missed, I think, the first couple of clues that they dropped about that. I was very pleasant surprised to pick up all the Hydra and other little sort of Easter eggs they had in there. And so I was a comic book guy when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, but I am so far removed from that now that I don't really know the Marvel universe anymore. So all kinds of things are happening. The funniest thing, though, if we're going to talk about Marvel, it's kind of hard to pass over the fact that when all their movies really started, I mean, they had the X-Men in the 90s, and that was a popular movie, but it was nowhere near as big as the newer Marvel movies. And of course, when Marvel wanted to reinvent itself in the early 2000s to start making movies again, they couldn't because they had basically signed off all their top A content to other creators. Sony has Spider-Man. I don't know who owned the X-Men or still owns the X-Men, but they didn't have the rights to make their own, you know, top flight characters and teams movies. So they took not second string, but basically third string characters like Iron Man. In the comic books is like a nobody. I mean, he's got a book, but he wasn't really a top tier candidate. Captain America, I don't even know the last time, you know, in the 90s.
If you're a metalhead, you know, you still have Black Sabbath that kept Iron Man totally alive through the years.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that it was just really funny to see that when Marvel made these huge hits, they made them with their second and third string.
Well, right. Well, I mean, you're dead on. I mean, look at Thor. I mean, I used to read Thor when I was real little, but once I became a teenager, I'm like, Thor.
Well, Thor is probably one of the better characters.
Oh, yeah, better, definitely. But
still more popular ones. But like Daredevil was interesting, but a pretty
weird one. Oh, my gosh. I loved Daredevil as a kid. But going back to WandaVision.
Sorry.
So part of the show that you liked was what overall?
Well, the tone of the show. And, you know, it's a little bit heartbreaking because those little moments of interruption where it seems like reality might be leaking in, but you don't know what reality is because they're not telling you until episode 4. And they're a little bit heartbreaking because you know Vision's dead. And so it's like, oh, this seems like just a fantasy that Wanda's in, but is she doing it or is someone doing it to her? And, you know, with superheroes, you never know if someone's constructed a reality to try to extract some kind of information or power from the person. So you never know whose virtual reality you might be in.
Yeah, right. And so that's why I keep thinking this whole Sword thing keeps coming into play because Sword, I'm not going to be like a total geek, but if I remember right, Sword is the agency that basically pays attention to anything far away from Earth, right? So like anything kind of out of our universe. So if it's coming from like another universe or like some crazy alien from far away, they kind of address it, right?
And so like I said, I'm so far out of the Marvel universe now that I don't know. I didn't even know what Sword was. I didn't recognize it when I saw it.
Well, I had to like, let me try to remember. Now, you know, I was a big comic book kid, so not that I...
Yeah, do you remember that from...
No, I definitely... I don't remember that being there at all, but because I was a comic book kid, once in a while, I'll look at blogs and see what they're talking about, and I go, okay, all right. And then, it was... Like you keep talking about second tier, Sword is kind of a thing they didn't bring up very often, but it's pretty obvious in this thing. Now, I will tell you what I liked a lot about the show that keeps me kind of interested from going, okay, this is just a drama. Because this is what's unique about this show. We haven't really seen anybody kicking booty yet. I know you don't like that word booty.
not when you say kicking. You just stop it and say kicking butt. That's the correct term. You don't say kicking booty. You don't say a butt call, right? When you want to hook up with someone, it's called a booty call.
So
booty call and kicking butt. Those are two different things and you do not mix them up.
Thanks, James.
It's really weird.
So we haven't seen anybody's face really get smashed in. The most we saw is a gal pushed through hundreds of walls back into kind of reality.
She got, you know, Wanda ejected her from whatever fantasy.
The world, yeah. So that was basically the only violence we've seen. So this is so not Marvel. I keep waiting for them to drop the bomb, but it's just not happening. And so I think that's really unique about this show.
Because I mean, that's one of the really boring parts about the Marvel movies now is that they're just, oh, let's have a big fight and, you know, settle everything with violence, which, you know, violence settles a lot of things, but that's their only go-to things. Like, let's have big superheroes fighting each other.
What?
I watched the Transformers movie, the first one, and I was pretty bored by it. I was so bored by it, in fact, that I fell asleep during the film. While two robots were rampaging through the city. And when I woke up, they were still rampaging through
the
city.
But going back to WandaVision, the whole thing that they're trying to figure out a way to not just do a bunch of people getting beat up and smashed to get the numbers. They're actually trying to use some clever plots. They're trying to use some clever ways of pulling you into the Marvel Universe. And that's the only thing I really like about it. Because if it wasn't that, and this was like, It seems just like a drama to me. I'm starting to already get, like I said, they kind of blew it when they went and it got rid of the illusion so quickly for me. And then I'm like, this is just going to be a drama.
Well, we don't know where it's going to go. So it's hard to say, but you keep talking about it in a very mercenary way. Like they're doing this very specifically just to pull people in, you know, maybe they're just trying to write a good story.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
And along those lines, this whole, so far, the first four episodes, it seems like they start with a very simple premise, right? I mean, because we as mortal, normal people, we fantasize about being superheroes. So, you know, the easiest thing to turn that around and say, well, what do superheroes fantasize about? And it's a long-running tradition is that, you know, you see the superheroes and just wishing to be normal people.
Right, wishing to be normal.
And with Scarlet Witch, she's so powerful, she can kind of make that happen. So I'm wondering if that's what we're seeing.
That's a good observation. I didn't think of that.
Well, I think it's kind of obvious, but it's just when you put it that way, when I put it that way, I think it makes it a little bit more obvious. But, you know, so she's powerful enough. She can make it a reality. She can make her fantasy real. I don't know why she's broadcasting it on UHF.
Yeah, that's weird. That makes no sense to me either. And so there's all these things that don't make sense. Now, something you had said to me when we were talking about this the other day, James, and you had brought it out and I'd brought it out and we both liked it. And that was what you called Easter eggs.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. No, we did. I think so. It was really fun to watch the show. And, you know, I'm not really up on it anymore. The Marvel Universe, as I said, I'm not up on it anymore. So I'm sure I missed a lot of the Easter eggs. But I did catch a few of them, like the watch had a little Hydra on it. They have ads. They have fake ads inserted. That might be a good idea, huh? Doing fake ads.
Right. So the whole thing with the Easter egg is fun because I watch a lot of these. I'm not the guy that sits down and watch television. If I'm not with the kids, I'm not watching television. So we watched it, you know, a day or two after it came out. I think we watched it Sunday. That's our night. So I noticed the little, you know, the octopus little thing, the little icon there, right?
Hydra.
Yeah, yes, the Hydra octopus. So I'm looking at that. I'm like, oh my God. And the kids are like, oh my God, look at this. And we start going back and forth like, oh, did you see that? Did you see that? So there were so many little things like that. Last Sunday, we ended up, instead of watching just episode four, we ended up watching the first three ahead of time before we watched the four. And we had so much fun finding new stuff in the show. These, you know, little things, all the little details that you didn't catch the first time. And it actually was a lot of fun to watch the second time. I wasn't bored.
Well, I bet you guys picked up a lot more of those Easter eggs than I did. You know, the other thing I did notice on the first episode, Wanda was making breakfast for Vision. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
I got so hungry.
Oh,
it was a whenever full breakfast of eggs and sausage and toast. And it's like, oh my God, yeah. I can
Well, that's one of the reasons I don't like television. If they had commercials, I'm good with them as long as they do not show the food commercials, because I'm always hungry. And so when someone shows me food, it's like, and I instinctively walk into the kitchen and grab something.
That's funny because most food ads don't really do anything for me, but seeing Wanda actually make real food, like, I don't know. Maybe I just have a fetish for Wanda making, which is making food.
Well, you know, the thing is that they did it in a way that was like old school. So it looked safe. It looked healthy. You know, it maybe memories of mom. I don't know.
Looked real. So yeah. I know it's too early to try to rate this thing.
Absolutely.
And my rating has fluctuated a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm not going to rate it yet, but I'm going to say it's got at least one thumbs up, one of my two thumbs up. And the other one was a definite thumbs up. It's wavering a little bit though. So, it might go up or down, but I'm pretty psyched about it.
I'm going to continue watching the show, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to give it two thumbs up. I'm only giving it one thumbs up because I just felt disappointed a couple times, and more than two is not good for me.
More than two disappointments? Wow, that's pretty hardcore.
Well, they were big ones. I mean, big plot ones.
Which is kind of weird because it's what level of reality are we talking about? It's a TV show breaking through its own reality. I guess two levels in the show itself, because there's Wanda's reality and then there's their show reality. And then there's the real world that we actually live in. Three levels.
This is just, franchise.
I would say one of the problems with Vision is he's just too powerful. You know, it's not good to have such a powerful character because it's kind of hard to write.
Well, what are they going to do? I mean, are they going to kill off Wanda? She's too powerful also.
Well, they might kill her off too. I don't know. Oh, well, you know, you find ways. I mean, they killed, not Ultron. Well, they killed Ultron. He was pretty powerful.
They killed Superman. In DC, anyways.
That's who cares? Who cares about Superman? I have no interest in Superman. No, the big bad guy in Endgame, you know, what was his name?
I don't know. All right, James. Well, there it is. One thumb up for you and one thumb up for me.
I'm not saying one. It's like one and a half-ish, you know, and it's a preliminary rating. We're gonna have to
preliminary rating, only one thumb up. We're going to continue watching. All right, James. All right. Hey, thanks for chatting with me. A lot of fun with Pop Sub.
Pop Sub.
It's another subject we've covered on Pop Sub. So good stuff here. And then we're going to have our next episode, Apple TV's Dickinson. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to our last ones, just to let you know, this is basically a quick little 15 to 20 minute clip on what subjects are popular.
It's a little information.
Pop Sub Podcast has been brought to you by Markers in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact Pop Sub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Running fast to a podcast. Is it gonna last with the freaky cast?